Hey y'all, Manny and Sicardo here, and welcome back to Teacher Think Tank. We have a great episode for you today. We're going to discuss the reopening of schools and the vaccine.
Thanks, Manny. It's Sicardo here. As you probably know, the public middle schools and high schools in New York City have been closed for the past month. Elementary schools reopened on the 7th, along with District 75 schools. But as of right now, there's no timetable for middle and high schools to return and reopen. So the question is, should they even reopen? If so, when? Also, with the vaccine rollout, should teachers be mandated to get vaccinated?
So, Sicardo, I think before we start, could you just go back and talk to our viewers and tell them what hybrid learning is?
Yeah, of course. So hybrid learning is essentially the system that both our school and the city have been using since the beginning of the school year in the fall, where students will do some learning in person and some learning online. In our particular school system, students were coming in once a week and doing the rest of their learning online, both through live Zoom sessions and also independent work. So let's take a typical high school schedule. For a student, they would do independent work for two of their classes on Monday remotely, along with two Zoom sessions for the other two core classes. On Tuesday, that would switch. So it would be two Zoom classes for the other core classes, two independent sessions for the other two classes. On Wednesday, they would come in person. On Thursday, they would do independent work. And on Friday, they would do work for their elective via Zoom.
Okay, so, all right. Let me just rewind. Number one, this is the exact same problem that I had with this entire hybrid learning. It is so challenging to understand. I remember when they were programming kids' schedules and we were there and we were going through the entire schedule. And I, for the life of me, could not understand this thing. I felt like I was a freshman again, back in college in an economics class, looking at everybody, like them nodding their heads and me sitting there like, what the hell is going on? I just could not get it. And even today, sometimes when I look at schedules, especially our middle school schedule, I'm just like, yeah, bud, I can't really help you. However, maybe someone in the front office can. And I can't imagine that I'm the only person across the city that doesn't understand these schedules. They're a mess.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there was certainly a lot of difficulty that went into making these schedules in terms of making sure that students were properly social distanced, that students were staying in their pods, right? That didn't interact mm-hmm. with each other, you know, and adhering to the fact that students also had the opportunity to choose whether or not they wanted to do this hybrid learning or stay completely remote. And I think when the city came out with this plan, they anticipated that a lot more students were going to choose to be in person, mm-hmm. right? Yep. And those numbers quickly changed where most students were electing to be remote,
right?
Certainly in our school, at least, when you know students came in and they saw the challenges behind the schedule, right? Remembering which day to come in, mm-hmm. remembering, you know, what time to log in necessarily. And we ended up seeing a situation where the vast majority of the students elected to be remote rather than in person with the hybrid schedule, right? I think there was an article that came out saying that the New York City schools looked like ghost towns inside them because they were empty, right? And it's difficult. It's one of the many challenges we've experienced, just the scheduling aspect of this whole pandemic.
Right. And obviously, there are some good aspects to remote or distance learning, right? So what are some of these good aspects then?
Yeah, I mean, there are certainly, you know, some pros to remote learning, right? So for starters, it allows for a self-paced educational experience for multiple learning styles, right? So we're no longer confined to the 60 minutes we had in class.
Sure.
Students who need a little bit more time on an assignment now feel like they have it. It also, you know, doesn't require commuting. So students right. who, you know, and teachers, we get some credit. students and teachers, right? Have distances up to 45 minutes to 2 hours mm-hmm. Coming to school. That's no longer a thing, right? We can work from the comfort of our own homes.
Right.
Now, of course, as we're going to go into what homes look like, for our students varies greatly.
Right.
Not only within our school, but the entire city as a whole.
Sure, sure. Also, one really big thing is I would be remiss as an economics teacher if I didn't bring this up. I know that when we're talking about competition, you either compete, adapt, or you die, right? And I know that the coronavirus has forced schools to adapt to the 21st century.
Absolutely.
Hello, schools. Right. I mean, think about it. Now we're using blended technology such as Google Classroom and various teaching methods that completely eschew traditional lecture style in classroom teaching. And I love that about remote learning, right? And now our education system is being forced to change, right? Just like every single business entity out there. Yeah. Those are some pros. What are some cons to this entire remote learning system?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's nice, right, that we're moving away from this traditional lecture style system that doesn't fly anymore. But there are certainly a great deal of cons when it comes to the remote learning. I think it's undeniable, right, to say that we need to see students face to face.
Right.
Right. There is just no situation in which I would ever argue that remote learning can replace or be better than in-person learning, with the exception of a very few amount of cases,
mm-hmm.
right? There's a social aspect, right? When I'm going around in a classroom and I'm trying to have students engage, right, in a discussion, that's very easy to do in person,
right?
I can, you know, physical cues and whatnot. When you're doing a remote learning style, it's almost like, you know, I have someone try to participate in class, and it's this, you know, kind of grandiose moment where they have to unmute themselves, and it seems like all eyes are on them.
Right.
And that's something that's just, you know, it's always going to be better in person to have that kind of discussion.
Or when they choose not to unmute themselves, right?
Right. Absolutely. And then we're sitting there for, you know, a couple minutes, and I feel like I'm teaching into the void, which certainly happens. I like to think I'm not alone in that. Right. Another con, obviously, is just the fact that these students are, you know, stuck in their houses all day.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
These are some incredibly formative years in which they need to be socializing with each other, getting out. And they are forced to be on the screen for hours. And then, you know, after school, they're on their phones. They're looking at TV. You're looking up to 15 hours of screen time a day. And that's just, it's not great.
Right.
And I think that the real issue we're really going to see is with, you know, pre-K students, who these are some really important years in terms of like building motor skills and having in-person communication with each other. And I think we're really going to see those consequences come about soon.
I agree. And also, like, as you were talking about consequences, some other things came to mind. So equity comes to mind, like when we're talking about remote learning, for example. So student access to technology. I know, like, in the beginning of this entire pandemic, right, schools are kind of hamstrung. Some schools did not have all the technology needed for kids to, readily available for kids to begin working as soon as possible, right? Obviously, you know, several months has gone by, and I think by and large, a huge number of New York City kids do have the technology now. But now that kids have technology, what about bandwidth, right? What about internet access? What about constant internet access, right? Nice. Some of my kids have three, four brothers or sisters in their homes all using the bandwidth, right? So what do we do as teachers? How do we even adjust for that, right? There's no clear cut sort of, you know, general rule that the city or anyone has told us to, hey, if you see this, you know, do that. And there are no if this, then that statements, right? And when I think about this as well too, I think about other people and families that I know that live in Westchester, right? Affluent parents who can afford to, or rather who don't have to go out to work, right? they can work from home and they can support their children with homework. What about other parents who have to go to work, right? Parents who are, who work minimum wage jobs and they have to work. They can't support their kids with this, you know, with their work, with homework, because they're physically not there. So I think at the end of this pandemic, or really, you know, by year two, the inequality gap will have been exacerbated by the coronavirus. I mean, like, what do you think about that, Sicardo?
Yeah, I mean, it most definitely, right? It just, you know, like you mentioned, the parents who are working jobs where they don't have the luxury to be remote, you know, if they have young ones at the house, well, what are they supposed to do if they're going to work and they have to go in person? Who's going to watch those children? And that's obviously been a major concern for the city. Right.
And I would also like to say that we're both educators, right? And we both went into this because we love human connection and we want the best for the next generation of kids. But at a certain time, as well, I want to be able to separate my work life from my private life. And with Zoom and remote learning and constantly having this, like, emails and text messages, right? This deluge of stuff that has to be done and tasks that need to be done. I feel like I'm a banker. I feel like I work at some investment bank and I am always on the clock. And I didn't sign up for that, right? That's not what I signed up for. This marrying of my private and public life. So that was something I really thought that was interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, someone like me, and I'm sure I'm not alone in this camp, in the sense that I am working, I am eating, I am sleeping, all in the same room in my apartment.
Right.
And it's not ideal, right? There should definitely be some sort of separation. Right. But with all that being said, you know, what is the solution, right? Mm-hmm. Do we actually go back in person? Do we do that now? Do we wait? When should the schools reopen?
Unequivocally, kids and teachers should go back to school once the vaccine, you know, if they take the vaccine, right? And that goes into the question of, I guess, should the vaccine be mandated?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I 100% agree with you. We cannot go back until the vaccine is distributed and given to everybody, right?
Right.
Can we mandate the vaccine, right? Can we mandate teachers to actually take the vaccine, right? We're living in a time where, you know, you would think something that would protect you against a virus that could kill you. This is somewhat of a no-brainer to a lot of people. But then you look at the news and we hear that, you know, up to 50% of Americans are saying that they're not going to take the vaccine.
Right.
You know, can we, or is it going to be feasible for public schools to mandate that teachers take the vaccine?
Right. I think a better question is, can we? I don't know. Should we? Yes. Right. We should. But my issue is, I think that every single teacher or any single person who works with people, if you want to get back to work, you should take the vaccine. Right. And as a New York City public school teacher, I'm going to jump at that opportunity, right? I need to get back into the classroom. This is what I signed up for. I signed up to mold young minds. That's what I signed up for when I said to myself, I want to teach, right? And if you don't agree with that, you should find some other line of work, right? You should, the New York City public school is probably not the best decision for you, or public schools at large, right? Find something else to do and leave the profession. And that's okay. Like, that is okay. That is your right as an American citizen, right? We shouldn't make people do it, right? But if you want to return back to the classroom, that's what you probably should do. Again, that's what I think. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I have to tend to agree with you, right? And this can be very difficult. I can understand there are legitimate concerns as to, you know, why people would be hesitant to take the vaccine, but the, you know, at the end of the day, we need to be back in person, and, you know, safety is a priority. So I say, let's get those vaccines. Let's get back in the classroom as soon as possible.
Let's get it. My arm is ready. My arm is ready, willing, and able to take that vaccine.
Primed. I'm going to find the vein right now for them so I can go in ready to go. but that is it for today. Thank you for joining us. As always, please reach out to us. We want to hear from you. Email us at teacherthinktankpodcast@gmail.com. Again, that's teacherthinktankpodcast@gmail.com. And we look forward to joining you again soon.
Stay safe, y'all. Have a good one.
Also, be sure to check out our website, teacherthinktank.com, for an exclusive interview with public school principal Donnie Lopez and his elementary school's return back to in-person learning. Enjoy your holiday break, and we'll see you next time.